Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, in the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for joining me this beautiful Sunday evening, a late edition of Phase 3 Wellness. Good evening, and a happy new year, wherever you may be listening from around the globe. Special welcome to my friends there in Costa Rica. And I'd like to, again, thank you for joining me in this evening, late edition, a prime time edition, if you will, of Phase 3 Wellness. As I said before, we've been testing sometimes a late edition to see what type of listenership we would have as compared to doing it earlier. And we may stay later. We may go back to the 4 p.m. So we'll know after a couple of more tests, weeks, whether or not we can stay at 4, whether or not we should move to what's considered a prime time from 7A. Again, my name is Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me. I'd like to remind you that if you would like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I also like to remind you, if you'd like to visit me on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. And also, you can leave me at phase3ministries.com. And we also have a Twitter page as well as a YouTube page, but we're making some changes on those right now, so you will be hearing more about those as well. Now, again, we have a very interesting show for you today. Let me see if I can get the chat room opened as well. We have a very interesting show, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. We're not going to get to all of the information that I would love to get to. So I'm going to have to kind of zero in on some of the articles. I mean, we have a lot of topics that we covered that I would like to cover, but we're not going to get to. But we're going to start off today, as we always do, with our Week in Natural News Review. And we're going to start off with an interesting article. Maybe we won't start off with an article. This is going to be called the 5 Common Diseases That Many People Don't Know They Have. We won't start off with that article. We will start off, though, with an article. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to start off with an article from naturalnews.com. And it's going to talk about, it's entitled basically the benefits of a fever. Now, that may sound strange to you, but actually a fever is actually a friend and not a foe when rightly used. So we're going to start off with the Week in Natural Review, then we're going to move on to our Healing Food segment, and we'll close up with our Healing Herb Healing Supplement segment. But our first article is going to be entitled, "High Fever Actually Benefits Your Health." It's going to be from naturalnews.com. Again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to talk about some other things as well. We're going to talk about 5 common diseases that many people don't have, but we're going to get to it right after this quick message. I want to remind you that we have a chat room up as well. If you'd like to say something in the chat, some people don't like to call in. We'll have the chat room up, again, at blogtalkradio.com/Phase 3 Wellness. We'll be back in just a moment.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing health care and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome.
Welcome back.
You're listening to
Wellness. We'd like to thank you for joining us. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we're going to get right into our show, and we're going to go into our first article in this first segment, the Week in Natural News Review. Again, that article, as I said before the break, is taken from naturalnews.com, and the article is entitled, "How a Fever Benefits Your Health" by Dr. David Jockers. Now, the article starts off by saying most of our society lives with the idea that health is a state of feeling good and not being sick or diseased. He says, we fear contact with bacteria, viruses, and other microorganisms. We use antibacterial soaps, sprays, pills, potions, and lotions. He says, we are constantly gearing up for the next big flu, pandemic, etc. He says, but in traditional cultures, fevers were always well-respected and understood. Most people knew that the fever would build up and then break, much like a wave rolling into shore. Now, our society tries to suppress the fever immediately using antipyretics or substances that lower temperature. He goes on to point out how these antipyretics include acetaminophen, and ibuprofen, as well as others. He says these quickly lower the temperature, but they also silence the body and hinder the development of the immune system. This allows the invading organisms to survive and contribute to the formation of chronic disease. This is true. Now, let's comment on this for a moment. You have to realize that when you have a fever, a controlled fever, it's the body's own natural, God-given mechanism that it is attempting to try and, by heating up, it's attempting to destroy the invading organism, be it bacteria or virus, whatever. And so the body is actually trying to kill off the invader. And so if we take Tylenol or ibuprofen or some other a chemical to suppress this, we're actually encouraging or helping the invaders to conquer our system, and especially, as he points out, to help chronic disease set in. He goes on to point out and to talk in this particular article to talk about our immune system, and while we're talking about this, I'm going to see if I can put these articles for those of you who may be online who are logged in. I'm going to put a link to the article in the chat room, so if you want to go and read it on your own, you can do so, or do your own research on it. But this article is from naturalnews.com. Now, the article goes on to say further, he says, the immune system functions like a muscle in that it must be challenged in order to grow stronger. Without resistance, the immune system cannot get any stronger. He says, an appropriate resistance may at times give someone a cold or fever. However, he says this is a natural adaptive response that the body makes in order to allow the immune system to function at a greater level. He goes on to say getting a cold or flu and having feverish symptoms may be the best expression of health for someone. Their individual's immune system's metabolic capacity may have been so weak that they couldn't handle the natural environmental stresses, so the body became vulnerable and developed a viral or bacterial infection. Dr. Jarkis goes on to say in this article, the immune system responds to fend off infection and strengthen the body. Microorganisms can only survive at unique temperature ranges. The innate intelligence within our body understands this and has adapted since the beginning of time to create an environment that is incompatible for these infectious organisms. Now, he goes on to say, as our core temperature rises, it reduces the microorganism load in the body. The body would not want to elevate temperature to the point of killing off all its good microbes, but will if necessary. When the body is under extreme infection, the core temperature has to regulate the internal ecosystem by increasing the temperature and killing off microbes. He says, further, our normal body temperature is said to be 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. A fever, however, is defined by an oral temperature that exceeds 100.4 degrees. At 101 degrees, most bacteria are unable to survive, and at 102 degrees, the viruses are unable to replicate and spread in the body. Fevers are typically self-eliminating and short in duration. They are not dangerous until they get up over 104 degrees in temperature. So here we find out, according to this article, Dr. Jockers points out how you have at 102 degrees, I'm sorry, at 101 degrees, most bacteria cannot survive. At 102 degrees, the viruses are unable to replicate themselves and spread throughout the bodies. So if you have a fever up to 102 degrees, and in the natural health field, we sometimes we have hydrotherapy, and we have things that are called fever baths and Russian steam baths and hot foot baths. These are specifically designed. Some of these hydrotherapy techniques are actually specifically designed to induce a fever. Some of them are designed to induce sweating or produce sweating, but a fever bath is actually designed to induce an artificial fever in the body to do exactly what he's pointed out in this article, to stop the replication of viruses and to destroy the bacteria in the body. Therefore, in the immune system, and some of these things also abuse the immune system. So there are also some hydrotherapy techniques that actually also boost the immune system while at the same time heating the body to such a degree that the viruses can't replicate and the bacteria are killed off. And so when the body does this on its own, he calls it the innate ability of the body, and it's true innate ability of the body, and I believe that it's the innate ability of the body given by the Creator, because the Creator, I address natural health from a Christian perspective. And as a result of that, the Creator, even though we call it the innate intelligence, it is the innate intelligence of the Creator. So that was built into our bodies. Now, Dr. Jarkus goes on to say further in this article, he says, as the temperature elevates, it activates the CD8 plus cytotoxic T cell. He says, this is a special lymphocyte that is able to destroy cancerous cells and cells infected with viruses. Researchers have found that higher body temperatures raise the number of CD8 plus cytotoxic T cells. This creates a significantly greater immune response against infection. He says that he goes on to say the increase in core temperature also elevates neutrophils, which are another unique immune cells or cells that belong to the immune system of the body that selectively target infectious bacterial cells. They're almost like killer cells. They actually go out and they put on what you could call these terrorist bacterial cells. He says the temperature increases also improves enzymatic activity to create an environment that is unkind to these infectious microbes. Then he quotes Dr. John Wary, PhD, the deputy editor of the Journal of Leukocyte Biology, saying, quote, having a fever might be uncomfortable, but research reports show that having a fever is part of an effective immune response. Over-sterilizing our environment and using synthetic chemicals such as drugs, that was end quote. Now he starts to say further in this particular article, over-sterilizing our environment and using synthetic chemicals such as drugs, artificial vitamins, and fever reducers only make our body weaker. These products are like a crush that does not allow the body to adapt and get stronger. So we end up weak and vulnerable and unable to effectively adapt to a changing environment. And then in the next section of this article, he goes on to point out the role of mucus formation in the body. Excellent article. Excuse me. He goes on to say mucosal surfaces are the primary entry points into the body for pathogenic microorganisms. Until recently, most scientists view mucus as simply a physical barrier that helped to prevent against invasion of infectious organisms. It was also thought to play a lubricating role between tissues. However, the latest research shows that mucus appears to be the primary home of unique organisms called bacteriophages. And he says bacteriophages, which are called phages, are viruses that infect and replicate within bacteria. Now, this is interesting. They selectively target pathogenic microbes and thus enhance the health of the host. Wherever bacteria and other microorganisms reside, you will also find phages. Researchers have found evidence that phages partner with host animals and humans to kill off unwanted bacterial colonies and control the composition of friendly microorganisms in the body. This reduces infectious organisms and improves your immune system. So in times of fever, he says the body increases mucus to trap bacteria and enhance the activity of phages in order to reduce infectious organisms. This is an intelligent response by the body to prevent chronic infection and disease development. Trust, he says, the body and trust your symptoms. Finally, he says, when is a fever dangerous? He says, you should always consult your natural health physician when fevers go to 103 degrees or last longer than 4 days. If the fever causes tremendous discomfort, trouble breathing or convulsions at any time, it would be an indication to go to the emergency room. One should drink tons of clean water and use electrolytes such as fresh squeezed lemon. This will support the body as it uses up fluids and electrolytes quickly in an effort to rid itself of the infectious organisms. If the temperature gets up over 104 degrees, an ice bath can bring it down a bit so as to not damage any of your vital organs. So again, he mentions the ice bath, which is really a form of hydrotherapy. So again, the takeaway from this article is that fever, when rightly understood and controlled, can be a very, very effective weapon against infection in the body. And so, especially mothers, when your children get fevers, please, please, please do not give them children's Tylenol to control the fever. Get in touch with some natural practitioner or either a medical doctor who believes in the natural way and who is very knowledgeable and adept at what they're doing, or if they're not themselves, they'll be able to put you into contact with someone else who may be in order to help bring the fever down, ascertain the cause of the fever, help bring the fever down, or either control it, make sure it doesn't go too high, and let it do its work, its appointed work. Again, that article is from naturalnews.com. I have posted it in the chat room. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're still in the first segment of Phase 3 Wellness. It's called the Week in Natural News Review segment. This is where we could look at articles that have come out during this week. We discuss and analyze them and try and add to and draw more out of the article. Just talk about them. Now, at this point, we're going to move on to our second article. And our second article is going to come from Mercola.com. And we're going to talk about, again, the extreme importance of vitamin D3. Now, we talked about that a few times last year in a few of the shows. And this is a new article by Dr. Mercola. And this article here was actually entitled Vitamin D Deficiency Linked to Depression, Pain, Inflammatory Bowel Disease, and Breast Cancer. So we talked about D, and I've called this vitamin D, your vitamin D for 2014. Talked about this in some detail before, but I'm coming back to it because it's just that important. Vitamin D3 is just that important, vitamin D. And Dr. Mercola starts out by saying, vitamin D research continues to impress us as the importance of appropriate sun exposure as the ideal way to optimize your D level. So you've heard me talk about here before about how the best way to get vitamin D3 is from the sun. The second best way is from supplements. And D2, we don't recommend unless you just don't have any at all. But D3 is the ultimate, vitamin D3, and ideally it's best to get it from the sun. As Dr. Mercola goes on to say in this article, winter limits sun exposure for many for up to 6 months of the year, and during those times your best bet would be to artificial UVB light, as UV ray exposure also appears to have health benefits above and beyond the production of vitamin D. He says some of the most damaging elements of standard tanning beds are the magnetic ballast, which make the loud buzzing noise you hear in many tanning salons. He says if an electronic ballast is used, there are far less damaging EMFs, which provide most of the danger from tanning beds. He goes on to say the other concern related to the bulb used, as some may contain only UVA light, which is primarily responsible for the tan, but doesn't increase vitamin D levels. For most northern hemisphere, vitamin D production is not possible from the sun, he says, during the winter months. You must use artificial UVB light or obtain vitamin D from your diet during this time. He says the benefits of UVB exposure from the sun or artificial light include but are not limited to the production of nitric oxide, a compound that lowers your blood pressure. Despite its name, vitamin D, he says, is not a vitamin. It's actually a potent, he says, neuroregulatory steroidal hormone, which helps explain some of its health impacts. He said it has become abundantly clear that vitamin D deficiency is a growing epidemic across the world and could be contributing to hundreds of common problems. He says further, in fact, correcting your vitamin D deficiency may cut your risk of dying from any cause by 50%, according to one analysis. He says further, if this sounds too incredible to be true, consider that vitamin D influences nearly 3,000 of your 24,000 genes. That is incredible. So here we have this vitamin D, and the Creator has put it, the ultimate form is free to all, sunshine. And he's put it, it's free for everyone, for all of us. So it's so crucial to our health that the Creator has made it abundant for all of us. And here we're finding out now through science, here as Dr. Mercola points out, that vitamin D influences almost 3,000 of our 24,000 genes. This occurs via vitamin D receptors, which can be found throughout our bodies and should come as no great surprise given that humans basically have lived in the sun since their creation. He says, just one example of an important gene that vitamin D upregulates is your ability to fight infections and chronic inflammation. It also produces over 200 antimicrobial peptides, the most important of which is cathelicidin, a naturally occurring broad-spectrum antibiotic. So here he goes on to show how vitamin D affects our gene activity by producing 200 antimicrobial peptides, and many that actually have body activity in the body. He says this is one of the explanations for why vitamin D is so effective against cold and influenza. He says, according to a 2013 January press release by Ortho Molecular Medicine, there are now 33,800 medical papers with vitamin D in the title or abstract, and this veritable mountain of research, he says, shows that vitamin D has far-reaching benefits to your physical as well as your mental health. Such research has shown that vitamin D can improve, number one, pregnancy outcomes, reduce risk of cesarean section and preeclampsia, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, heart disease and stroke, autism, Alzheimer's, as well as other brain dysfunctions, bacterial as well as viral infections. And he says some of the most recently published studies demonstrate how boosting our vitamin D levels can actually improve depression. It can improve pain in diabetics or relieve pain in diabetics, Crohn's disease, pain in those who have Crohn's disease, as well as those who have issues with breast cancer. And then he goes on to explain how it works in breast cancer, how it works in Crohn's disease, etc. Now he says, I won't go into all of the detail, but basically he says that vitamin D in Crohn's disease. He says, while previous research has associated how vitamin D levels with an increased risk of Crohn's disease and shown that correcting your vitamin D deficiency can improve symptoms of the disease, one of the most recent studies found a significant interaction between vitamin D levels and Crohn's disease. Susceptibility as well as significant association between vitamin D levels and genotype. So basically, to make a long story short, getting plenty of vitamin D from the sunshine can actually help with those who suffer from Crohn's disease, which is basically irritable, a form of irritable bowel problems. And again, don't forget the importance of your diet as well as your sunshine when you're dealing with symptoms of your gastrointestinal tract. Also, in talking about how vitamin D can actually help reduce depression and pain, and we've talked on here before about the number of people who are on depression medication. But he pointed out, Dr. Mercola points out, how vitamin D supplementation has been found to reduce both depression and pain in diabetic women. He says, as reported by PsychCentral, quote, the investigators set out to determine how vitamin D supplementation might affect women with type 2 diabetes and who are also suffering from depression. He said at the beginning of the study, 61% reported neuropathic pain, such as shooting or burning pain of legs and feet, and 74% had sensory pain, such as numbness and pain in their hands, fingers, and legs. During the course of the study, the participants took a 50,000 IU vitamin D2 supplement every week for 6 months. He says by the end of the study, the women's depression levels had significantly improved following the supplementation. Furthermore, participants who suffered from neuropathic and or sensory pain at the beginning of the study reported that these symptoms decreased at 3 and 6 months following vitamin D supplementation. He goes on to say that according to lead researcher Todd Dahl, PhD, vitamin D supplementation is a promising treatment for both pain and depression. And I would note that you probably get even better results using vitamin D3 rather than prescription D2. Dr. Mercola says, in fact, previous research actually suggests that vitamin D2 might do more harm than good in the long run. So again, vitamin D3, as I said before, is superior. He goes on to point out Drishdol is a synthetic form of vitamin D made by irradiating fungus and plant matter, and this is the form of vitamin D typically prescribed by doctors. This is not the type produced by your body in response to sun or safe tanning bed exposure, which is actually vitamin D3. He said, according to a 2012 meta-analysis by the Cochrane database, which assessed mortality rates of people who supplemented their diet with D2 versus those who did so with D3, there are significant differences in outcome between the two. He said the analysis of 50 randomized control trials, which include a total of 94,000 participants, showed one, a 6% relative risk reduction among those who use vitamin D3, and two, a 2% relative risk increase among those who use D2. That said, he points out how the featured research certainly sheds light on the role that vitamin D can play in the management of type 2 diabetes as well as its associated side effects. And he says, when you consider that an estimated 60% of type 2 diabetics are vitamin D deficient, there is certainly plenty of room for improvement. And this is one of the things that I recommend to diabetics, that you get out in the sunshine and that you walk. You breathe in the fresh air. Now, you've heard me talk about those laws of health that we've been given from the Creator. First, being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control, or temperance. If you follow these and you apply them in a scientific fashion, you will get the benefit. You can reverse diabetes, for instance. For instance, when we're talking about this, you can see the benefits of just the sunshine on the diabetes, on the depression, etc. And so, again, because of time, I'm going to cut this article short. But you can read this article as well. It's found at Marcola.com. It's entitled Vitamin D Deficiency Linked to Depression, Pain, Inflammatory Bowel Disease, and Breast Cancer. And I am going to go ahead and put this, a link to this, in the chat room. Next, now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about five common diseases people suffer from that they don't know about. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'd like to remind you, if you want, you can call in at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We'll be back after these brief messages to continue with our next topic.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work? Or if it's just all quackery, then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Hi, and welcome back to Faith Be Wellness. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're just spending an afternoon here together discussing natural health. I am a naturopathic doctor. I address natural health from a Christian perspective. I have an office practice here in Orlando, Florida. And we're still talking about the Weekend Natural News Review in the first segment. And here we're going to pivot over, and we're going to discuss our next article. And in this article, it is entitled, and this is from the Motley Fool website, and it linked to it from Yahoo News. And it's five common diseases that many people don't know they have. And I found it to be a very interesting article. So it has some very interesting facts. And so this is why we drew this one in today. And so the article talks about how it's truly amazing how well humans have evolved, given how short of a time span they've been on this planet. And I'm assuming that they're talking about microevolution as opposed to macroevolution. Of course, as a Christian, I don't believe in the idea of macroevolution, being that we evolved over millions and billions of years from single cell amoebas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe in intelligent design. I believe in a creator. The body just has too much intelligence. This DNA and RNA, there's certain aspects of DNA that could not have existed without it all coming to into existence at once. And so it's just too complex. And although the science has been thrown behind, and you look upon, strangely, even in the Christian world, if you believe in the design or creation, the fact of the matter is, the body itself, just the science behind the body, it astonishes and stuns the intellect. So to believe that it just happened, just because it's just not logical. Nevertheless, in this particular article, they quote the World Health Organization. They say that there are, according to the World Health Organization, there are 12,420 diseases, disorders, and health-related ailments that could potentially strike us each and every day. Yet somehow we not only survive, but we've managed to thrive, says this article, as life expectancy rates around the world continue to rise. So the Global Burden of Disease study conducted in 2010 showed that the number of deaths over age 70 had risen to 43% worldwide from 53% just 20 years prior. And as an article, I won't read all of the details, but I also post this particular article in the chat room about the five common diseases that many people don't know they have. The first one listed is diabetes. And the article goes on to point out how, although diabetes is a global problem, it's particularly prevalent in the United States due to the fact that nearly 34% of the U.S. population is considered obese, and diabetes often goes hand in hand with obesity. And according to the statistics for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there are currently 25.6 million people in the United States with diabetes. 7 million of them are currently undiagnosed. So 25.6 million. There were roughly 350 million people in the U.S. along those lines, 350 million, I'm not quite sure. And 25.6 million are said to have diabetes, with 7 million of them not knowing that they have it yet. And I wonder if they considered those 7 million as diabetic, but did they consider the millions who are insulin resistant? So the first stage is being insulin resistant, then you go to being pre-diabetic, then you go to having full-blown diabetes diagnosed. The article goes on to say, further, to add insult to injury, the CDC also notes that there are an additional 79 million adults in this country showing signs of pre-diabetes. Okay, so here the article says 25.6 million who actually have it, 7 million of them who are currently undiagnosed. Then there are an additional 79 million adults in this country showing signs of pre-diabetes, a condition that could lead to full-blown diabetes later in life. And then there's also, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the stage of being insulin resistant, which is the precursor actually to being pre-diabetic. So diabetes is certainly a manageable disease if caught early and treated regularly, which is why the Obamacare Health, now I'm reading from an article, reform may wind up being crucial to getting people to see their physicians for preventative visits. I can tell you right now, the best preventative for diabetes is your diet and exercise. Don't eat the junk. Don't eat between meals. Don't mix fruits and vegetables. Don't lie down sooner than 3 hours after you eat. Don't eat meal. Don't, when I say don't eat between meals, that means don't eat sooner than 5 hours. Don't snack, etc. Don't overeat. And eat healthy. Eat closer. Eat in harmony with those health laws, and in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, and close to the garden. And you will, in 99% of cases, have diabetes. Number two, disease that many people have, common disease that many people have, they don't even know that they have it. Tuberculosis, it's one of the most common infectious diseases according to this article, and one that is both curable and preventable. It is found in its latent form in about 2 billion people worldwide based on statistics from the World Health Organization. The article says, so before you start freaking out, understand that only 5 to 10% of those latent virus carriers have the potential to develop the active form of the disease at some point in their lives. However, understand that next to AIDS, tuberculosis is the next greatest single agent killer in the world. It is especially violent. It's an especially violent disease in lower to middle income countries where 95% of all TB deaths occur, he says. So again, many people carry it in a latent form, but it is very, very dangerous disease, and you need to take care and be aware of keeping your immune system up, staying healthy in general, and understanding that it's another one of those diseases that people have and they don't even realize that they have. The next one in this particular article is hepatitis C. And they go on to say that based on the data from the CDC, there are about 3.2 million people infected with hepatitis C, which is liver disease, in the United States. And as many as 75% of those people have no clue they carry the disease. Over time, hepatitis C can lead to liver cirrhosis and even liver cancer. The World Health Organization statistics peg the number of worldwide cases at about 180 million, meaning if the CDC's estimates are extrapolated, some 135 million people around the world are clueless that they have this disease. So again, hepatitis C is also a very serious disease. So far we have diabetes, tuberculosis, and hepatitis C as being 3 of the 5 common diseases that many people don't know they have. Next on the list is COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And it's responsible for about 120,000 deaths every year in the United States alone. And this disease is characterized by a blockage and inflammation of the tubes of the lungs, making it difficult for a patient to breathe. And smoking is, without question, he says in his article, the predominant factor that often leads to COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. He cites the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, which is a subsidiary of the National Institutes of Health. There are more than 12 million people in this country diagnosed with COPD and an additional 12 million are undiagnosed who are actually likely to have the disease. So here you have, again, we have the smoking that goes on, you have the pollution, and you have some of these other issues. And as I said earlier, the World Health Organization has defined that in the world there are more than 12,000 disorders, disease, and health-related ailments. Now, as a naturopathic doctor, we don't believe in treating disease. We believe in promoting health inside of the body, and the body will cure itself. Yes, you can help it. You can provide it herbs and other things to help it along the way. But essentially, all diseases can be traced back to essentially more or less the same cause, the violation of those laws of health that I discussed on here. Every disease can be traced back to those. There's not one so-called disease or dis-ease that cannot be traced back to the consistent violation of those laws of health. If we violate them, we will get sick. There's no doubt about it. Last on the list is heart failure. And the article says, not to be confused with a sudden heart attack. Heart failure is a progressive condition that comes about as a result of a heart attack, chronic high blood pressure, or even diabetes, which affects the ability of the heart to pump blood throughout the body. It says, based on the statistics from the Heart Failure Society of America, heart failure affects nearly 5 million people in the U.S. and is the only cardiovascular disease that's still on the rise and is widely unnoticed by a number of patients. Part of this has to do, says the article, with minimal research and funding and incomplete understanding of what occurs in heart muscles that causes them to weaken over time. In fact, the HFSA, he said, notes that the number of annual diagnoses has more than doubled since 1979. I would suggest to you, listener, that the number one and number two issues for the increased rate of heart disease is stress, better defined as distress, chronic distress, which causes chronic inflammation, which damages the heart muscle, combined with lack of exercise and bad eating. But stress alone could do it. Chronic stress alone could lead you or send you into heart disease simply because of the constricting of the arteries when stress or go into a state of distress. The over time, the inflammatory responses that occur, and so many other things that occur in the body. And when we have this chronic stress, we go into a state because the body is, because of all these biochemical reactions, many times the body goes into a state wherein you have to get into a situation where you begin to get deficient in certain minerals and nutrients, which really have laid the foundation for disease and sickness. So there you have, of the five, in this particular article, five common diseases that many people don't know they have. Number one, diabetes. Number two, tuberculosis. Number three, hepatitis C. Number four, COPD. And number five, heart failure. And I am going to place this article, a link to this article also, in the chat room. And you can click on it. You can read it for yourself if you like. Or pass it around or whatnot. Again, you listen to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. What we're going to do here is we're going to pivot over to our healing foods. Our healing foods. And this article, and it's not really an article when we talk about healing foods, but I'm going to draw some information when we're talking about these healing foods from greenmedinfo.com. But we're going to be talking about these foods in general, and I would draw some information from that, and just some I'll just talk about. And the reason I want to draw from this particular article, even though we usually don't go from an article when we go into the healing foods, it's just that it was an excellent article that played right into our healing foods segment. And what we'll do is, because of time, we'll just blend this with our this healing food segment. We'll just blend this together with our final segment, which is our healing herb, healing supplement, because they actually, some of these foods are actually, they function as herbs as well. And basically, this is basically five food medicines that could actually quite easily save your life. The first one we're going to talk about, I've talked about some of these in the past, but I'm going to talk about in detail about some of the amazing properties of some of these foods. The first one is garlic. Now, garlic is what we call a broad-spectrum antibiotic, not just what we call, but science identified garlic as a broad-spectrum antibiotic. And in this particular article at Green Med Info, he points out how the increasing prevalence of multi-drug resistant bacteria, as well as the failure of the conventional drug-based model to develop and sustain effective solutions against them, even not accepting responsibility for creating them, has created an awareness, if you will, amongst these universal broad-spectrum infection fighters like garlic. And in fact, I think I'm planning on, I want to do a book maybe and make it available on Kindle. And it's probably going to be called 10 of the Baddest Natural Antibiotics on the Planet. And garlic will definitely be one of them. And I plan perhaps to include quite a bit of info, detailed info, on just how powerful a natural antibiotic it is. Actually, I have an article on my Phase 3 Wellness site. If you go on the homepage and you look under the Angels of Life Natural Health Journal, you have one that's entitled Garlic, God's Antibiotic, and I strongly suggest if you haven't read that you read that. It gives you a lot of details on garlic, how to use it, what it's used for, how to use it as an antibiotic, etc. But garlic, is, in fact, has several hundred therapeutic properties, and this is confirmed by a lot of scientific research. For instance, one quick example of garlic killing power, as pointed out in Green Info's article, is in killing multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. It's interesting we talked about tuberculosis. Now, if you didn't notice, before the rise of antibiotics, the way that tuberculosis was treated in Russia and other places, even in the U.S., was with garlic. And here he points out, talking about how one quick example of garlic's power is in killing multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. the mainstream media has termed the, quote, white plague, lulling the masses with the fear of drug resistance but not plant extract resistance. He said they are made to believe that they are defenseless against it. And he goes on to show, point out how last year an article was published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal showing that garlic was capable of inhibiting a wide range of multiple drug-resistant tuberculosis strains. And the authors of that study concluded, quote, the use of garlic against MDR-TB may be of great importance regarding public health. And he goes on to say that garlic's anti-infective properties do not end with MDR-TB. Now, when I say MDR, that basically means multiple drug resistant tuberculosis, as it has been demonstrated. Now, let's look at some of the things that garlic has been demonstrated to be very effective against. We won't go through all of them. I'll just name a few. Parasites, herpes simplex virus type 1, herpes simplex virus type 2, Helicobacter pylori, the influenza virus, periodontal infection, staph infection, thrush, oral and fungal infection, and the list goes. There's just a few, and it's like hundreds of them actually. So again, garlic as our food, our healing food, very potent, very powerful. Like I said before, I'm going to do a book on the 10 baddest antibiotics on the natural antibiotics on the planet. Next, we'll talk about honey. Honey is another very, very powerful food medicine. Of course, honeybees produce a wide range of therapeutic substances beyond honey, of course. Propolis, bee venom, royal jelly, beeswax, bee. But honey and all of those things, we could sit in here and talk about and discuss how effective they are, like royal jelly and bee pollen, etc. But, and propolis. But we're going to talk about honey here and how effective it is as a food. It's a food, but it's also a medicine. And it is just, again, a very, very powerful natural antibiotic as well. And we'll look at some of honey's more scientifically researched health benefits and / applications, also as pointed out in GreenMedInfo's article. He points out how aspirin-induced gastrointestinal toxicity can be helped with honey, because honey actually coats the delicate lining of your stomach, preventing aspirin-induced lesions and bleeding. Many people are told to take aspirin who've had a heart attack in the past or who may be at high risk of heart attack because the aspirin thins the blood, but they're not told that aspirin can cause gastrointestinal bleeding. Honey can actually help with the aspirin-induced gastrointestinal toxicity. Secondly, it's also good for bacteria, preventing bacterial infections. It's also good for burns. It's also good for candida infection. Despite the fact that honey contains sugar, it actually demonstrates antifungal properties. So you would think that sugar actually causes fungus to grow, and synthetic sugar and other sugars do, but honey, the sugar in honey, does not. So, interesting. It's also good for conjunctivitis, dental plaque. A recent study showed that Manuka honey, which is a very, very, probably the most effective honey for certain types of infections. Actually, a recent study showed that Manuka honey was a viable alternative to chemical mouthwash and actually dissolving dental plaque. Diabetic ulcer, honey is good for herpes-related ulcers, as well as MRSA. And Manuka honey is very, very, especially one that should be considered when you're dealing with MRSA. Our next food that we'll deal with here, I call it food medicine. Again, there are other uses of honey, but we're running out of time. It's apple. Apple is probably the single best fruit in terms of some of the benefits that you can get from it that we have. You remember the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, I'm sure. But it's, and especially it can help keep cancer specialists away, as pointed out by GreenMedInfo. And in GreenMedInfo actually points out how, for instance, they say one of the most well-established health benefits of consuming apples is to actually reduce the risk of colorectal cancer. And he points out how the more apples you consume, the less likely you are to develop this potentially fatal disease. He says, then he has five studies that reference this relationship, and I'll put a link to GreenMed, the GreenMedInfo article that I'm referencing here, and you can go and you can read the article and even read apple research studies in connection with colorectal cancer and just overall. He also points out how aging, how apples also help aging and help reduce the rate of aging. Is beneficial for helping allergies, hair loss, diarrhea, insulin resistance, liver cancer. Remember I said insulin resistance is the stage, the pre-stage of diabetes, of being pre-diabetic rather. And then being pre-diabetic is the stage that leads up to being full-blown diabetic. So by eating apples, apples actually help you to prevent or to cut back or reduce or eliminate being insulin resistant. Liver cancer, radiation-induced illnesses, rather, as well as MRSA, or staph infection. Finally, we'll talk about turmeric. We've talked about turmeric before, again, but it's a food, and it's a food medicine. And it is very, very, very effective. We've talked about how there are so many studies that have been done on the benefits of turmeric. Again, it is highly regarded in Ayurvedic medicine because it's just that good. And it has been scientifically documented in more than 500 applications in disease prevention as well as treatment. It also has been shown to modulate over 150 distinct biological and genetic pathways of value to our health. And so it has a complexity and yet it's general beyond pretty much any other drug when you combine its complexity as well as its gentleness. So they point out also that there are just too many health conditions that turmeric may benefit to list all of them. So they decide to just list 10 of the top ones. And the ones that they listed are oxidative, it's beneficial for oxidative stress, for inflammation, and there's a number of studies. There were 160 studies that showed how it benefits oxidative stress or helps prevent oxidative stress. 51 that shows how it helps prevent inflammation. 48 against DNA damage. 34 that talked about the lipid peroxidation. 24 that talks about its benefit in helping prevent colorectal cancer. 60 in its benefit against breast cancer, 52 is benefits against colon cancer, 34 studies and its benefits in those who have chemically induced liver damage, 34 studies showing its effectiveness against Alzheimer's disease, and 23 studies showing its effectiveness against tumors. And he points out also on the site GreenMedInfo that there are more than 1,500 plus studies, and I put a link, and you can go there yourself, and you can, if you want to do more research on some of the other benefits of turmeric. Indeed, it is a godsend. And again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We decided to combine our natural weekend, I'm sorry, not weekend natural, we talked about it already, but our healing food segment with our healing herb, healing supplement. This is why I'm just combining the benefit of these foods, food medicines actually, with our healing food segment and the medicine segment rather. And so here we have, I was a little distracted there. I was putting the link in the chat room to that GreenMedInfo article that I was referencing at some point. Now, again, let's go back, and since we were able to finish that a little quicker than we anticipated, We have about five minutes or so left. What we'll do here is we will we'll take another article. Remember I said when we started that I had lots of information, but I didn't know if I would be able to get to it. We'll take an article from naturalnews.com, and this particular article is entitled, it dealt about how vital sleep is for the brain, about how vital sleep is for the brain. And so, trying to prevent having a little technical difficulties here, but I think it's, I don't think we're going to lose any connection here. But this particular article came out this week. It's an extra article that I had just in case we had an opportunity to get to it. And this is new research, it says. It's entitled, New Research Suggests That Sleep Plays a Vital Role in Brain Health, with sleep deprivation being conducive to brain tissue loss. Wow. And in this particular article, and I'm going to have to go through this pretty quick, it pointed out how the importance of sleep in relation to physical health is well known, but too little sleep has been linked to obesity. Too little sleep has been linked to obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even increased risk of motor vehicle accidents. Now, I talked about this before. A couple of months back, we referenced an article where we went into great detail explaining what happens in the brain when we sleep and what happens in the brain when we're deprived of sleep. And you'll recall that of the laws of health that I talk about, sleep is one of those important laws of health. And now we have a lack of sleep being associated or being conducive to brain tissue loss. And this particular article pointed out how in children, even sleep is even more critical because the children are going through a time where their brain is maturing. This connective tissue strengthening between the left and the right hemispheres of the brain while they sleep, according to the University of Colorado Boulder study. And in this study, which was conducted on children 2, 3, and 5 years old, it indicated that sleep is linked to brain development by strengthening the bonds between the two hemispheres of the brain. The article pointed out further that likewise in adults and even more in children, sleep has been linked to processing and storing what we have learned and encountered during the day by a University of Tübingen study. During sleep, materials that we have learned during the day are stored as long-term memories, making future learning easier. So by sleep deprivation, many people are having memory problems and sleep and not really connecting it, long-term memory problems, they're not really connecting it to sleep deprivation. There could be other issues as well, but that's an element that definitely has come out as being very important. This particular study that I'm referencing also looked at the memorization capabilities of children between the ages of 8 and 11 and young adults by showing them a series of actions and then either having them sleep for a full night or stay awake for an entire day. The group that slept was significantly better at remembering the previous test than the group that stayed awake. Not only that, but children were significantly better at remembering than the young adults. And so therefore it is important for all of us, and especially children, to get a full night's sleep. And that actually helps our memory. Now, he cites another study here that are from the University of Florida and dealing with how those who smoke cigarettes and those who coffee affect their sleep patterns. I don't have time to go into that. But, of course, nicotine and caffeine both can affect your sleep cycles, cause you to end up in a state of true sleep deprivation and cause other problems, mental, spiritual, and physical. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am almost out of time. I want to thank you for joining me. I want to remind you to join me here next week. We'll probably go prime time again next week. Again, we're going to test this out for a while and just see. And just like to welcome you. And to ask that to remind you that if you have friends, if you have family members who are interested in health, send them a link or download this episode to a CD. Give it to them. You never know how you might be able to save a life. Until next time.